Say it with me.
I am a volunteer
in the day of revival,
in the day of His power.
Jesus looked at the harvest, and here's what He said. He said, "What a huge harvest. How few workers. On your knees and pray for harvest hands." Let's pray for harvest hands right now as we open up this message. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, You said in Your word that we could ask for laborers. And so we ask for harvest laborers this morning in the name of Jesus. In Your day of power, we're calling people in from the north, south, east, and west. Even those that sit here today that have not found exactly where to serve, may they find a place in the house of the Lord today. And we give You praise, we give You glory for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as Brenda said, we are called to contribute, not just to consume. And in Ephesians chapter 2:10, the Bible says that we are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works. He has prepared paths ahead of time for you and I to walk in and really even to serve in. See, good works are not going to get you to heaven, but good works are a result of what you've already experienced in your heart, the new birth. See, we're not saved by works, but once we're saved, we should be doing good works. Amen? Good works, good people, good service in the good house of God. Amen. And so the question we should be asking is what is my service in the house of the Lord? Now, the biggest hindrance to doing His will is doing your own will. Now, if you've missed opportunities and you've missed the great opportunity to serve in this church, you're not too late. You're not too late. You've come to the right place. Look at Galatians, the 6th chapter, and in the 10th verse, if you would, this morning. I saw something earlier this week that really blessed me. In Galatians 6, verse 10. You know, some people have called this the year of opportunity. One person preached a message one time, and the gist of the message was, is missed opportunities bring regret? Has anybody had the opportunity to invest in something that had you invested in it today, you'd have more money than you have right now? Well, we don't want to live in regret, do we? We want to buy up the opportunities that God gives us. Well, praise God, I'm giving you an opportunity to serve in this church. You ought to be glad about that. Actually, I'm doing you a big favor. And really, it's the Lord doing you a big favor. Now, notice with me. Would you read this with me? Look at this. As we therefore have opportunity, let us do good to all men. Now, stop right there. Let us do what?
Good.
We're saved for what?
Good.
We're saved for good works. See how that ties together? So as we have the opportunity, let's do good to all men, especially unto them who are the household of faith.
Yes.
You know that you're in a household of faith today?
Yes, hallelujah.
And you've been given the opportunity to serve in the day of His power. Oh, man. I'm buying up an opportunity right now by serving you. I'm serving you the Word of God. I realize that I'm not always going to be doing this. You need to realize you're not always going to be sitting in this church. Sooner or later, we're all going to get called to heaven. Whether it be by rapture or whether it be by the way of the grave, we're all heading for heaven. Amen? So we might as well buy up the opportunities that we have down here right now, because what we do here, we will see in heaven. You will absolutely see it. And so as you therefore have the opportunity, let's do good. Just look for some good to do and get out there and do it. Now here's what's happening. Precious opportunities are passing people by the millions. People are ignoring precious opportunities. Don't let it happen to you. And if you have in the past, the good news is you're still breathing. I said you're still breathing. Amen. Now in Exodus chapter 8, notice with me in verse 1. Exodus the 8th chapter, verse 1. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, go unto Pharaoh and say unto him, thus says the Lord. So who's doing the talking?
The Lord.
Who?
The Lord.
And when the Lord talks, what should we be doing? Thus says the Lord, let my people go that they may play Nintendo all day long. No, thank God, let my people go that they may serve me. They were under the taskmasters of Egypt, which is a type of devils, demons, and evil spirits. God looked down upon them and said, you go tell Mr. Pharaoh, they better let my people go, because when they are liberated, they are going to serve me.
Yeah, hallelujah.
Now, the New Testament scripture is this. For brethren, you've been called unto liberty. But don't use your liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. So the children of Israel were liberated to serve the Lord. You've been set free. You've been taken out of darkness, brought into the kingdom of His dear Son, set free that you might serve. I'm not free to sit. I'm not saved to talk about how great I am. I'm not saved to waste my time. I'm not saved to see how much money I can make. I'm saved to serve. And what's good for the goose is good for the gander. You know, what's good for the preacher is good for the people in the pew. Amen. Because sooner or later, whether you realize it or not, every one of us are going to have an audit done on our lives. And the head of the church is going to ask us, what did we do with the things and the supply and the talents that He gave us? Amen. I want to hear, well done. How about you? Say it with me real strong. I have been freed up to serve God. John Wesley said this. He was an incredible man of God. His motto was this, and I need some water. Thank you, Jesus. Did you get anything out of that? Yep, Pastor Tom just said it. He that waters shall himself be watered. So John Wesley said this, he said, do all the good you can. By all the means that you can. In all the ways that you can. In all the places that you can. At all the times that you can. To all the people that you can. As long as you ever can. That's greatness. You want to be great in the kingdom of God, serve other people. You know, when Brendan and I go to hotels and we don't want to be disturbed, we put the do not disturb thing on the door outside, on the knob, because we don't want to be disturbed. That means when they come at 6 or 7 to clean the room, we don't want to be awake. How many of you have ever been in that case? Where the door opens up at 6 or 5 in the morning. We're still here. Oh, excuse me. The problem is that hanging on the door of many Christians' hearts is do not disturb. I'm too preoccupied with my own plans. You see, what Jesus is looking for is He's looking for your availability. He's not looking for perfectionism. He's not necessarily looking for superstars. He's just looking for people that have a heart generated by His love that will roll up their sleeves and say, Lord, here I am. Use me for your glory. Now, in 1 Corinthians 12, in the Amplified, it says, now you collectively, you are Christ's body, and individually, you are members of it. Each part severally and distinctly, each with its own place and function. How many of you ever heard of the term unction? Can anybody help me with the word unction? What does unction mean? Unction means anointing, right? You are called, I am called to function in the unction. To function in the anointing. Now, what if you got a call, say like 5 o'clock this morning, it was your liver. And your liver said, you know what? I just don't feel like functioning anymore. I just want to be fed. You'd have some problems quickly. And you know what? In the local church, there's a lot of people just like that liver. I just want to be fed. You see, Christianity is not just about you. Christianity is about others. It's about, by love now, serving one another. And you are needed, whether you realize it or not. You are needed in the body of Christ. Close your eyes, raise your right hand toward heaven and say this with me. I am needed. I have a place in the body of Christ. I said this in the earlier service, and I mean it. If Brenda and I go the way of the Lord before the rapture of the church, God will see to it that better pastors come and take our place. You know, I'm not replaceable. And you're not replaceable. Did you know that? I'm not irreplaceable. Almost sounded arrogant there for a moment. I'm not irreplaceable. We're all replaceable. The bottom line is this. The strength of this ministry is not Pastor Tom, not Pastor Mark. It's not the paid staff. The strength of this ministry really is those who serve in the house of the Lord. And that is why I am fully persuaded that if Jesus comes, praise the Lord, before, amen, you know, down the road, 30, 40, 50 years, this church will be in good shape. Because of the people that serve. Say it with me, I'm a volunteer in the day of his power. John Maxwell said this. He said, nothing of significance was ever achieved by an individual acting alone. He said, look below the surface and you will find that all seemingly solo acts are really team efforts. Team efforts. Whoever wins the Super Bowl this year, I'll guarantee you the team, it will be a result of a team effort. It will not just be by a running back or a quarterback. It'll be everyone doing their part. How many of you ever heard of a saint by the name of Mother Teresa? I like this quote. She says, you can do what I can't do, and I can do what you cannot do. But together, we can do great things. And you know, Jesus left us an example, didn't he? One of the things that Jesus did is he washed the disciples' feet. And he says, I have left you an example that you should also wash one another's feet. And so what he was simply teaching us a lesson on how we should be serving others. Jesus is my example of servanthood. He is your example of servanthood. When you think about it, with outstretched arms on the cross, he died for us. He willingly chose to become your substitute. He left his home in heaven and he became the servant of all. Now what we need to do is we need to die to ourselves. And we by choice should become servants of the Most High God. The biggest enemy to your service in the house of the Lord is your will. And you need to understand this, that like that prophet Bob Dylan said, You're going to have to serve somebody. Now, it might be the devil, or it might be the Lord, but you're going to have to serve somebody. And I can prove it to you from the Word of God. You're either going to serve the Lord or you're going to serve your own belly. You're either going to serve the Lord or you're going to serve your own appetites. I want to point out a scripture to you. Are you ready for this? I'm not sure whether you are or not, but I'm going to give it to you anyway. Oh, glory. Turn over to the book of Galatians. Or actually, turn over to Romans 16. And notice with me in verse 17 and verse 18. How many of you know the devil makes a bad taskmaster? He does not have your best interests at heart. He doesn't love you like your heavenly Father loves you. Notice with me in Romans 16, verse 17, he says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not the Lord Jesus Christ." Look at your neighbor and say, "We're talking about service." "But their own belly." How many of you know your belly makes a bad God? But literally what Paul is talking about, he's not really talking about your belly. He's talking about your appetites. He's saying that many people in the church at Rome, what they were doing is they were serving their own belly. They were serving their own appetites. In other words, they weren't really seeking first the kingdom of God, but rather they were seeking their own desires first. And my brothers and sisters, this is a problem in the body of Christ. This is a big problem in the local church. One of my key components of my job description is to prepare you to do works of service in the house of the Lord. But I know that not everyone is going to serve. And I'll tell you right now, I'm going to love you whether you tithe, whether you serve. You're welcome in this church no matter what. Amen. Almost no matter what. Yeah. Got to qualify that. But you can come here, you can take up space, you can be like that non-functioning liver who just comes to get fed. That's all right with me. But you are not ultimately answering unto me, you're ultimately answering unto Him. And that is serious. That is something that you really need to take a look at. What am I doing with my time? What am I doing with my money? The way that you'll discover what you're doing with your money is just look at your checkbook. Look at your bank statement. You will discover real quickly who is Lord and who is not Lord. See, when we come into the family of God and we declare His Lordship over our lives, that means that He's our master. And when He is your master, you need to check in with your master to see what He wants you to do with your time. To see where He wants you to worship. To see where and when and how He would have you to be a servant of the Most High God. Say it with me, I'm a volunteer in the day of His power. And the greatest thing about it is this. Is when you do serve God, you're not serving a taskmaster. You're not serving an enemy who's going to place burdens on you and squeeze the life out of you. When you serve Him, you're serving life itself. And when you serve life itself, the life that He came to give you will spill over in abundance and to the full till it overflows. Albert Schweitzer said, "The happiest people on the earth are people that serve others." And I have found this to be true. The people with the biggest smiles on their face, the people that are happiest do not have me, myself, and I on their mind. They've let go of themselves and they put their hand to the plow and they refuse to look back because they are servants of the Most High God. Listen, I'm doing my best today to preach the gospel to you. This is an important part of revival. I am a volunteer. Sign me up, Lord. Here I am. Send me. Use me. I'll go where you want me to go. I'll do what you want me to do. I'll give what you want me to give. And you know what? You will not come up short if you do that. You will go into the exceeding realm. You will go into the realm of increase. You will go into the degree that He will do for you what you cannot do for yourself, which is exceeding abundantly above all that you can even dare ask, think, or hope, infinitely beyond your highest dreams, hopes, and desires. I'm telling you today, if you be a willing and obedient, glory to God, you will eat the good of the land. Did you know today you will serve somebody? You're going to have to serve somebody. Whether you realize it or not, you're either going to serve yourself or you're going to serve God. Look at Philippians chapter 2. Philippians, the second chapter. Hallelujah. In verse 5, it says, let this same attitude and purpose and humble mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Let him be your example of humility. Verse 6, who being in the form of God, he didn't think it robbery to be equal with God, but he made himself of no reputation, and he took upon him the form of a servant, and he was made in the likeness of men. Now listen very carefully to what I'm about to say to you. A bond servant is someone who chooses voluntarily to serve. True servants are not into titles, they're into towels. I listened to Dad Hagen years ago. He was the leading prophet of the land in the 80s, in the 90s, in the early 2000s. And he was such a humble man. I remember him saying one time, I would that people didn't even see me. All I want to do is I want to hide behind the cross. And you know, friend, when you hide behind the cross, what do people see? Jesus. What should people be seeing in our lives? They ought to be seeing some Jesus. Amen? Amen. When you hide behind the cross, they'll see Jesus. The Bible says if He's lifted up, let Him be lifted up in your life. Let Him be glorified in your life. If He be lifted up, He will draw all men unto Him. Amen. Oh, glory to God. Let this mind be in you. Let this same attitude be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. You see, true servants, I've discovered, they just rather serve anonymously and not to be seen of men. Did you know that? Let me have a little quiz with you today. Have a little fun. Do you know the names of those who are teaching your children right now? Do you know the names of the musicians that came here at 8 a.m. this morning and earlier? Do you know the names of those producing the image right now that you see on the screen? Do you know who restocked the restroom that you will use? Do you know who stuffed the bulletin that you hold? Do you know who cleaned the seat you're sitting on? It was all done by anonymous volunteers. Now listen very carefully. The parts of the body that seem to us the least to God are actually the most important and the most necessary. Years ago, two teenage boys came to an evangelistic meeting, and after trying unsuccessfully to find a seat, they decided, well, we're just going to leave. But just as they were heading, an usher said, wait a minute, guys, I think I can find you a seat. And he found them a seat, and they were able to go and sit. And they got saved that night. One of those teenagers' name was Billy Graham. He accepted Christ all because of what an usher did. Let me ask you a question. Do you think that that usher will get any credit in heaven? Do you think that there might be some sort of a reward that takes place in heaven? Absolutely. The next question is this. Can God use your smallest act of service in a life-changing way? You've got to believe He can. And you've got to believe that He will. Again, Jesus is our example. He's our model. The Bible again says that He made Himself of no reputation. He took upon Him the form of a servant. He was made in the likeness of men. But did you know that God blessed Him as a result of His obedience? Jesus went to the cross. He went to the grave, but He didn't stay in the grave.
Amen.
Satan thought he had Him down for the one count, down for the two count, down for the three count. But on the third morning, God raised Jesus from the dead. And the Bible says, wherefore, God has highly exalted Him and given Him the name which is above every name. Then at the name, every knee's going to have to bow in heaven, in earth, and under the earth. You see, He humbled Himself, but God exalted Him. And listen, friend, if you'll humble yourself as a servant, if you will just do what God puts before you to do, if you will just seize the opportunity that's before you today and do good to the people in the household of faith, God will see to it that He takes that humility and brings promotion in your life. He'll bring exaltation in your life. He will bless the faithful with abundant blessings. He will cause you to rise to the top, because I'll guarantee you, cream always rises to the top. And I believe this, that you are sitting in a church where we are the cream of the crop. One of our core values is we are a community unified to serve the Most High God. Come on, somebody. I've seen it happen here and I've seen it happen there. I've seen God bless people's socks off because they have done the will of God. Say it with me. I am a volunteer. In the army of the Lord. Woo, glory. I said glory. Who'll give me just a few more minutes? There's 3, 6, 9, 12, 10, 15. All right, thank you. Listen, the blessings of the Lord, it maketh rich. And He doesn't add any sorrow with it. When you seek first the kingdom of God, God will take care of your business. You advance His kingdom, God will advance your cause. He will bring His blessing into your life. Not only here, but in the hereafter. Look with me in Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 10. I saw this week and it just caused me to shout. I hope it causes you to shout too. Hallelujah. Why don't you just shout in advance? Glory! Come on, somebody, shout in advance. Hallelujah. That's what I'm talking about. We're shouters, not pouters. Galatians, or Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10. The Bible says, God is not, well, I got to read it from this verse. You go ahead and read. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have showed toward His name. In that you. Now that's good, isn't it? But this scripture that I'm going to share with you, it's the same scripture, but a different translation. It makes it even more clear. Now listen to this. This comes from the complete Jewish version. The complete Jewish version. Listen to this. For God is not so unfair as to forget your work and the love you showed for Him, now notice, in your past service to His people. And in your present service as well. You know what this says? God never, ever forgets your past service. Oh my goodness. If you've been serving God for 3 days, He'll never forget it. But if you've been serving Him for 3 years, He'll never forget it. If you've been serving Him for 30 years, whoa, glory to God, He'll never forget it. Wherever your number is, God never, ever forgets your past service that you render for the saints of the Most High God. Man, that is awesome. But not only does He not forget your past service, but He also keeps in mind your present service as well. Woo! Glory to God. I'm about to shout right now. That means my labor and your labor is not in vain. Whether you've ever been recognized by man, whether you've ever received a pat on the shoulder by man, God's got your back. God remembers you, and God will reward you for your faithfulness. Oh, I'm trying to preach it. Woo, glory to God. Now, on one hand, you know, the Bible says we brought nothing into this world and we can't take anything out. That's talking about materialism, right? We have never to date seen a hearse pulling a U-Haul. Right? That reminds me, this is kind of funny, it has nothing to do with the message. There's a friend of mine down in Nashville, Tennessee. His name is Charles Cowan, been in the ministry for years and years. He did the funeral and then followed the hearse and then accidentally ran into the hearse on the way to the graveside. So they had to stop everything and get the police support. All right, anyway. That's a big blooper right there. That's almost as bad as me getting in a car accident with Brother Hagin. We're going down the street one day, you know, and I had... anybody ever seen those little IBC root beers? It looks like a beer bottle, but it ain't a beer bottle. Pastor's been delivered from beer. Thank you, Jesus. Beer, wine, and other spirits. Woo, my. Shall we move on? But that's almost as bad. Brenda and I are taking Mom and Dad Hagin out to lunch. And I had this little bottle of root beer in the front, and I reached down to pick it up, and I rear-ended somebody. You think about it. This little pastor with this great, big, huge minister in the back seat, in the front seat with me, rear-ends a car. And Mom Hagin says, "Dad, why didn't you say something?" He said, "No time." First he said, "Sod coming." And then he said, "No time." Not many pastors can say they've been in a car accident with Brother Hagin. And not many pastors can say they've been in a tornado with his son, Kenneth Hagin. We're in Branson, Missouri a while back. And this has nothing to do with message. You enjoying it anyway? The man of God's laying in bed, right? It's 1 a.m. And all of a sudden, we hear something like a train going through the condominium. Have you ever been in a tornado before? It sounds like a train, doesn't it? Oh, my goodness. I just laid there. Brenda got up. But Pastor Hagin was in the other part of the condominium. He says, "Mark, it's a tornado." And so he used the name of Jesus, and thank God we were kept safe. But not many pastors can say that. I'm not really proud of it. I don't even know why I'm saying it right now. I guess just for you guys to know that I'm as human as you are. You brought nothing into this world, right? How much are you going to take out? It's like the two people, you know, sitting on the corner. And they're standing there. They see a hearse going by. "Well, Doc, I wonder how much he left." "He left it all." Is that right? He left it all. Now, how'd you come into this world? You came into this world naked, right? And you're going to leave exactly the same way. No matter how pretty they try to make you look, you are leaving here. You are out of here. Gone. But you're present with the Lord. Say that again. But you're present with the Lord. Hey, ha, ha, ha. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. You know, I don't want to get legalistic about this, but I don't really like the word death. I have no fear of death. I would prefer people to say they've departed rather than they're dead. I mean, when you die, you want people looking at the coffin and say, oh, they're dead. My God, they look dead. Or they come up and say, oh, doesn't he look great? Yeah, right. Lighten up a little bit, saints. No, they've departed. But listen, friend, when you depart, you're gone. And you can't get back here. You can't get back to opportunities that you had while you were here that you missed. See, I believe that God today, even by the power of the Holy Spirit, has got his appointment book open. And I believe that he's standing somewhere out there amongst all those tables.
That's right.
I see you've had your hot dog. You ready to sign up yet? Now, that's the second hot dog you've had. You get over here and sign up. No cookies till you sign. He's our commander in chief. He's the captain of the Lord's army. And how many people in the Lord's army are exempt from service? That was too weak. How many inactive members are there in the Lord's service? That's exactly right. But when you leave, you're going to leave everything materially, but, everyone say but. But there are some things that will follow you. Now, the scripture that I'm going to read to you, I have read many times for funeral services, but I've never seen it before like I saw it in the light of this message. It was revelation to me. It opened up my eyes. And it caused me to see how important it is that I stay by the stuff. And how important it is for you as ministers. Every one of you are ministers. Every one of you are ministers. Now, you don't always act like a minister. But then again, neither do I. I'm working on it, and God's working on me. But every one of us are ministers. Look at your neighbor and say, I am.
I am.
You are.
You are.
A minister.
A minister.
Say it again. I am.
I am.
A minister.
A minister.
Of the Most High God. Say this, Jesus did not come
to be ministered to,
but to minister.
And if I want to be great
in the kingdom of God,
I must lose my life,
for
as I lose it,
I will save it.
Lift both hands and say with me, I am
a volunteer
in the army
of the Lord.
Now go over.
Let me show you what I saw. Go over.
Are you ready for this?
Yes. Now remember this.
Our labor is not in vain.
God never forgets your past service.
All right?
Now, look at Revelation chapter 14.
This is good food right here.
Revelation, the 14th chapter. And Brenda reminded me of something in between services.
So you have the benefit of being in the second service.
Because as I teach on this and minister on this, more revelation comes.
And really, the more attentive you are, the more you draw from the anointing that's on me and in me, the more you'll get.
That's right.
Did you know that?
Yeah.
See, what happens in this place is not just my responsibility. It's the responsibility of every person to expect God to speak to them. And when you are in expectation and faith, He will speak to your heart. Look at this in Revelation 14. This is so good. And I heard a voice from heaven. So God's speaking, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
John's getting revelation here. He's over on the island of Patmos. They tried to boil him in oil. They took him to a remote island. They thought they could shut him up. They thought they could shut him down. And all of a sudden, a vision comes.
Yeah.
You can't keep a good man down.
Yeah. Amen.
And I heard a voice from heaven and it said to me, write, blessed, happy, to be envied are the dead which die. Now notice, in who?
The Lord.
Listen, friend, you do not want to die outside of the Lord.
Come on.
You don't want to go there. You want to die in the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Blessed are they, the dead, which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, says the Spirit, emphatically speaking, that they may rest from their what? That they may rest from their goofing around. No. That they may rest from their labors. Now, did you wear your shouting clothes? And their works. And what? We are saved unto good works, and their works do follow them. Woo, glory to God. Labor, work. You don't retire before you die. You retire when you die. Now notice. Yea, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. Follow them where? Follow you right on into glory. Now, that's still a little blind to us, so let me read it from another translation. It says this. The Spirit answers and said, yes, they will rest from their hard work, and they will be rewarded for what they have done. The rewards aren't just coming to Billy Graham. The rewards aren't just coming to Mario Murillo. The rewards are not just coming to Wesley. The rewards aren't just coming to T.D. Jakes. The rewards are coming to all of those who serve God with a pure heart. Listen, 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 listen. If you prayed, that reward will follow you. If you served in the nursery, that's going to follow you. If you serve as an usher, it's going to follow you. Whatever you do is unto Him, you will be rewarded. Another translation says this. This is awesome. It says, they will enjoy rest from their hard work. They will enjoy rest. Talk about party time. The Living Bible says this. Your good deeds will follow you to heaven. Every seed that you sow for the glory of God is going with you. It follows you. And God's Word translation says this. What they have done goes with them. Rewards. Rewards. What they have done. What you have done. Will go with you. In closing this, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And notice with me in verse 12 through 14. Say it with me. God never forgets my past service and my present service as well. Wow. Verse 12 of 1 Corinthians 3, it says, now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, now every man's work will be made manifest. Did you know that?
Yeah.
For the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's what?
Work.
Every man's work. Should we all be working?
Yes.
Should we all be serving?
Yes.
The fire will try every man's work of what sort it is. Verse 14, read it with me. Read it strong. If any man's work abide, which he has built thereupon, he shall receive. Read it again. If any man's work abide, which he has built thereupon, he shall receive what? He shall receive a what?
A reward.
He shall receive a what?
A reward.
He shall receive a what?
A reward.
Ooh, glory. Listen. Think about it. His rewards will blow you away. His rewards will blow you away, man. Woo, glory to God. It's not going to be some little plastic trophy. Tony, God's got a soul winner's crown. There's the crown of righteousness laid up for you. There's a crown of glory laid up for you. And I tell you what, when he puts those crowns and those rewards on us, we'll take them off and we'll put them at his feet and we will crown him Lord of all. Hallelujah. Woo, glory to God. Now here's what Brenda brought up to me in between service. Your works will follow you. Parents, your example that you give toward your children, the seeds that you have sown for years and years, giving them the word, praying over them, making sure that they're taken care of, making sure that they're in the house of God, your seed, this is coming right out of my spirit, shall be mighty upon the earth. Mm. If it doesn't look that way right now, you just keep holding fast. You just keep serving the Lord. Thus saith the Holy Ghost, your seed shall be mighty upon the earth. And as you look over into the earth from the grandstands of heaven, you'll see your seed serving God. You'll see your seed preaching the gospel. You'll see your seed blessed coming in and blessed going out. Oh, hallelujah! No greater joy, John said, that I have than to hear that my children walk in the truth. Oh, glory to God. Now that's good news, isn't it? Somebody says, yeah, but I don't have any natural children. You've got spiritual children. You got people that are looking to you and they're following your example. Yea, says the Lord. They that die in the Lord, hallelujah, shall rest from their labors, and every good deed that they've done will follow them for my glory. Come on, somebody, let's give him praise today. Glory to God. Doesn't it just make you want to serve God more diligently? So Jesus is out there. He's standing there in our team leaders. And if he asked you to clean the church bathrooms, how clean would they be? If he asked you to help out in the church nursery, how would you handle and treat his children? If Jesus asked you to pray for your leadership at the church, how fervently would you pray? If he asked you to get involved in the local church, how quickly would you respond? When you volunteer, friend, and you're asked to do something, you need to remember that it is as if Jesus himself were asking you. Because when you do it unto the least of these, my brethren, you do it unto me. Hallelujah. Let's put our hands over our heart and say, Heavenly Father, this day, we open our hearts to be revived as a church. One of the characteristics
of strong revival is all hands on deck. I am your person. You can count on me. I volunteer now in the day of your power. In Jesus' name, amen. This message is not designed to condemn, but I believe that it will convince you and it'll spur you on to good works. Amen.